Tonight's here, Parshas told us, Pasuk says, V'yetar Yitzchak L'Hashem L'Nochach Yishto Ki Yikar Akarahi V'yasa Lo Hashem Atar Rivka Yishto. So we have Yaakov Avinu, Yitzchak Avinu, excuse me, davening L'Nochach Yishto, and Rashi says, what does it mean, V'yetar Yitzchak? Says Rashi, here by the Hiftzir Betvila, he was davening tremendous amount of tried very hard to convince HaKadosh Baruch Hu to answer his tefillah. And when Hashem answered him, the Lashon in the Pasuk, we said it was, V'yayasar lo Hashem, says Rashi, what is V'yayasar lo Hashem? Says Rashi, Nispatzer, V'nispayes, V'nispatelo, that Hashem, you know, let himself be urged, be persuaded, and Hashem said, okay, fine, Yitzchak, okay, it's hard, but I'll accept your tefillah. And then Matar Rivka Yishto, she became pregnant. So the question is asked, why was it so hard for Hashem to accept Yitzchak's tefillah? It says, oh, okay, fine, very difficult. Hashem said, okay, he gave in. Why was it so hard? It's Yitzchak's davening, so accept his tefillah, finish. So Rav Yosef Chaim Sonnenfeld says that Avraham Avinu was supposed to live to be 180 years, Chazal tell us. However, in the end, he lived only to be 175. He died 5 years before his time. What was the reason? Says Rashi, in order that he shouldn't have to see Esav go off the derech. And therefore, he had to die 5 years earlier. Now, it comes out that what? That had, here, what was Yitzchak davening for? With Rivka to have a child. Who is the child who was going to come? Esav. So it comes out that had Hashem not listened to his tefillah over here, and waited a few more years, waited 5 more years, and then answered him, so then Avram could have lived the full 180 years. But instead, Hashem, by listening and answering to the tefillah here, and Esav was born 5 years earlier, and I was born now, save it in another 5 years. As a result, Avram had to die 5 years earlier. So Mele comes out, that's why Hashem found it tough to accept his tefillah. Not because he didn't want to accept Yitzchak's tefillah. Vakasha, you know, Yitzchak's davening, I'd love to help him. But it's on the cheshbon of Avram. If I'm going to accept Yitzchak's tefillah over here, it means Avram has to die 5 years earlier. That's why it was hard for Hashem to accept the tefillah. And that's why it says when he's pastor, when he's pious, and he's, oh, okay, fine, I'll accept. It was hard for Hashem, because he didn't want to have Avram Avinu die 5 years earlier. And he says, there's a remez to that, in those words, Vayayasar lo, when then Hashem answered the Yitzchak, Vayasar lo, the gematria is the same gematria as what? As Chamesh Shanim, it's 748. So meaning, this Hashem accepting this fila was Al Cheshbon 5 years, the 5 years of Avraham Avinu that he had to lose. Rav Aaron Cutler Zatzal, when he heard this gematria from Yosef Chaim Zollenfeld, he said that this gematria was said with Ruach HaKodesh. Okay. So next, an interesting idea, the Magi Midubno says, But for a change, it's without a mashal. Magi Midubno without a mashal. Says the following. Says, Avraham Avinu, he was originally an akar. He was barren. Okay, how do we know this? Says, because after he didn't have kids, he took Hagar, and he had a child. But it says over there that after he had a child, that Hagar got pregnant, then Sarah said to Avram, Chamesi Alecha. Rashi says, Sarah said, why you? If you would have davened for me, I would have had a child. You davened for yourself, then you should have a child. If you would have davened for me, I would have had a child with you. Meaning that Avram Avinu also needed a tefillah in order to have a child. So Avram Avinu was barren till he was Hashem made him have children. Sarah, we know, obviously, she was barren. She was an akar. Yitzchak wasn't an akara. How do we know? Because it says over here, Beferish Nepasuk, he daven lenochach ishto ki akara hi. That she was a akara, Rivka, but he wasn't. So Yitzchak wasn't. Rivka, as we say, akara hi Rivka. Rivka was akara. Okay, let's go on. Yaakov. Yaakov wasn't an akara. He had plenty of children, the Shvatim, etc. Rachel, she was, says Beferish Nepasuk. Rachel akara. She was barren. Leah, she was also an akara. Where do we know that? It says, Vayar Hashem ki sinu aleya ve'iftach et rachamah. He had to open up her rechem, meaning she was an akar. Therefore, lisiku, we have that all the imahos, Sarah, Rivka, Rachel, Valeya, they were all akarot. The avos, Avram was an akar, but not Yitzhak and Yaakov. So, Magen Yehuda says, what's pshat over here? Why? Avram was, the others weren't, all the imahos were, what's going on? So he says like this. He says, Hashem wanted to start the Jewish nation from Avram and Sarah. Fresh. New nation, Jewish nation, just from Avram and Sarah. However, okay, but what do you mean to start from Avram Sarah? Avram Sarah came from people, right? Who did Avram come from? That we know from Terah. So we didn't want to have the grandfather of the Jewish people to be Terah. So what did Hashem do? He made Avraham and Sarah both Akarim, that they would not have, they're barren. And therefore, they would have no connection to the previous door. Their previous door, the Terach, etc. In other words, they were not really supposed to have any kids. There's supposed to be no hemshech between them and Terach. And then only after, in their old age, and Avram, you know, Hashem made a nes, Avram and Sarah, they had benes, they had a child, they had Yitzchak. But since it was benes and it wasn't just a natural, you know, birth, therefore they had no connection with the previous door. That's exactly what Hashem wanted. He wanted to start fresh from Avram and Sarah. Yafet. Good. So who did they have? Yitzchak. Now, Yitzchak, no problem that he takes over, he has the genes of his parents, because his parents were tzaddikim, Avram and Sarah. So he didn't have to be cut off from his past. Why not? Coming from Avram and Sarah. So therefore he wasn't barren. Who did he marry? Rivka, right? Rivka, we see here in the beginning of the Sedra. Who was Rivka's parents? Who was her father? Besuel. Not the biggest tzaddik in the world. So we didn't want to have, you know, Besuel in our, you know, genes. So therefore, Hashem made the daughter of Besuel, Rivka, barren, again, to cut her off from her parents. Fine, so she has no connection. And now Yitzchak, who has the genes of Avraham and Sarah, marries Rivka, who's cut off from her past. And again, everything's good, fresh. Fine. Yitzchak marries Rivka. Who do they have? Yaakov. Yaakov needs to be cut off from his parents, Yitzchak and Rivka? Not at all. Therefore, he wasn't in that car. He was fine. However, who did he marry? Leah and Rachel. Leah and Rachel, who were her parents? Lavan. Don't like Lavan. We don't want him in our past. So therefore, both Leah and Rachel have to be akarot to cut them off from their parents and their past, and they can start fresh. So Mela, that explains very nicely why Avram was an akar, but the other Yitzhak and Yaakov was not, and all the imos were akarot.
What about the two shifros?
I'm still, they were butthole to the gviros, so it doesn't count. Okay, it says in the pasuk, Yisrasasu abanim bekirba. Rashi says, famous Rashi, Lashon Ritza, Kashaita Overes Alpidcha of the Torah of Shem Ve'Ever, Yaakov Ratz Mefarkis Latzeis, Overes Alpidcha Akum, then Esau Mefarkis Latzeis. Famous Rashi, right, when Rivka was pregnant with Esau and Yaakov, she was walking by the Torah, the Beis Midrash, and Yaakov wanted to get out. Came by the Avodah Zarah, and Esau wanted to leave. So the Moshe of Zakeni Mibali Tosos asked the following question, based on the Gemara in Sanhedrin, and not Tzadik Aleph Amud Beis. The Gemara says over there that Rabbi Yehuda Nasi, he asked Antoninus, he was asked by Antoninus the following question. He says, when does a person get his Yetzer Hara? Does a person get his Yetzer Hara upon conception, when they're still in the womb, or only after, when they're born? So Rebbe answered, in the womb, when they're still in the womb. So Antoninus said, that can't be. Because if the kid already, when he's inside, already has the Yetzer Hara, he would kick his mother and get out. He didn't want to be in there. He'd have the Yetzer Hara to kick to get out. Therefore, can't be. It must be that he gets his Yetzer Hara later. Rebbe, in fact, says, Oh, the varzelim lim dani Antoninus, umikre misayo shenemar lepeta chatas rovei. So he says, hey, I learned something from Antoninus, he taught me something, and he's right, that the Yetzer Hara only comes after a person is born. The obvious question is, we see that's not the case. This Rashi. What happened? Here we have Esav having a ganz fine Yetzer Hara, he's pushing, he wants to get out and go by, go out when Rivka passed the Beis Avodah Zarah. But according to everybody, Rabbi agreed with Antoninus, the Yetzer Hara only comes in after. What's going on? Sifsei Cohen answers the following. He says, exactly, he says, that is exactly what was Rivka's question. Right? Rivka had these kids, because Asur Abanim Bekirba. So what did she say? V'tomer im kein, lama ze anochi? Says, why me? He says, I don't understand. It doesn't make any sense. The Yetzer Hara only comes in after a person's born. So why am I different? Why do my kids have the, you know, my kid has the Yetzer Hara when they're still in the womb? It doesn't make sense. Lama ze anochi? Why am I different than all other women and all other children? The Yetzer Hara only comes after. So what did she do? V'telech l'drosh et Hashem. She went to ask the Shaila. It didn't make sense to her. So what was the answer she was given? V'yomer Hashem la, yeah, shnei goyim b'vig nech, shnei lumim ayichi paredu. That you have two nations inside of you. That's why. You have a tzaddik and a rasha. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't want to have these two nations have any kesher with each other. He didn't want to have Yaakov and Esav be, you know, buddies, you know, and in the womb, and then later, you know, no kesher whatsoever, not even in the womb. And therefore, Hashem did something different over here that's not normal. Normally the Yetzer Hara comes later on, but here, he put the Yetzer Hara in at the time of conception, so to keep Esav and Yaakov apart already in the womb. As it says, Mimiyayichi per, already in your, in side of you, there'll be a nifra, there'll be seven. Okay. Now Rashi brings another pshat, davar acher, misrotzatzu, misrotzatzim zeim zeim, rivim benachla shnei olamos. That they were struggling and they were fighting over the inheritance of the two worlds. Olam haze, olam haba. There's a maisis, it's Rav Eliyahu Regoler, name was. And this Rav had this young woman come to him. And she went off the derech. She was ad kedei kach that she was wanted to lishtamed. She wanted to convert. So he met with this girl and wanted to find out, like, what's going on with her? Why are you taking such drastic steps? And so she said, "I'll tell you." She says, "My father, he works hard all day, barely makes ends meet." And it's not only that, you know, and he works so hard all day, he's constantly saying, "Oh, you know, I'm so busy working and barely making a living, and what's going to be with my olam haba? Oh, what's going to be?" He's constantly complaining he's not going to have his olam haba. So it comes out my father doesn't have olam haza, he doesn't have olam haba, he has nothing. Then we have this neighbor, this goy. He's living it up. He's got the ganz fine parnasa. He's matzliach. And not only that, the priest in this church tells him that he's going to have a nice olam haba also. Everything's going to be good. And he sins here and there, but he goes to the church and he has finished. Everything's fine. You're forgiven. You know, no problem. So he's got it good. Olam haza, olam haba. He's got it all. So I want to leave Yiddishkeit. I want to become like a goy. It's great. You have everything. So he told her the following. He said, you don't understand how things run. He says, let's go back a few years to Esav and Yaakov. He said, Yaakov Avinu, he chose Olam Haba. Okay, they had this fight, as we saw, between the worlds. So Yaakov says, he chose Olam Haba. Esav says, I want Olam Haza, he took Olam Haza. But what happened? He told her, he said, this was lasted for a little while until Esav came with a complaint. He says, it's not fair. It's not fair. He said to Hashem, why? He says, look, Yaakov Avinu, fine, he has Olam Haba. What happens? Olam Haba is everything. Olam Haba. So, here in this world, fine, he doesn't have this world, but every time things don't go well for Yaakov in this world, things are going tough because he doesn't have this world, you know. What happens? He constantly has his eye on the next world. He goes, yeah, but I'm going to have the next world. So it's worth it. It's worth the pain and the thing, but I'm going to get next world. And as a result, he's living it up in this world also. It doesn't bother him. Nothing bothers him. Well, I'm getting Olam Haba. So he has Olam Haza and Olam Haba. He has both. Me, on the other hand, said Esav, it's the opposite. Fine, I have this world, right? But I don't have the next world. So I'm constantly thinking, oh, Gavalt, what's going to be in the next world? I'm going to get hit. I'm going to burn. Everything. So I can't enjoy this world either, thinking of what's going to be in the next world. So I don't have Olam Haza and Olam Haba. I got nothing. It's not fair. You got to, you know, make things a little bit even over here. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu listened, he said, fine, you're right. Let's even off things a little bit. And he said, in place of, you know, Yaakov, it's true, he's got this world, next world, so we're going to take away this world from you. How are we going to take it away? I'm going to make it, said Hashem, that the person, a Yid, is going to be constantly worried about not getting his Olam Haba. He's going to worry, oh, maybe I'm not doing the right thing, maybe that, who knows, not enough mitzvah, constantly worried about losing his Olam Haba. Therefore, he won't have Olam Hazeh. He'll just have Olam Haba. But he'll have Olam Haba. Just not this one. So he said, Mela, that's the same thing with your father. Right? You know, exactly. He's worried, what's going to be Olam Haba? That's the Gzeir of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that he should worry about that, so that it should make things even, and he'll get his Olam Haba. And he'll get it. Whereas the Goy, he might have Olam Hazeh, but not Olam Haba. Okay. Pasuk says, Vehi ki zaken Yitzhak v'tichena einav mirot. Yitzhak got old, then he lost his sight. The Midrash says the following: Yitzhak yada kama nora mida sadin lasilavo. Yitzhak knew how terrible, how serious the mida sadin is, how awesome in the next world, and he wanted to lessen it. Therefore, ratzai yisuri. He figured that if a person suffers in this world, that'll take away, you know, zaveiros or whatever, and that'll lessen the din in the next world. So Hashem answered, and he said, Chayecha, davar tova tamevakesh. Says, you know, Yitzhak, you're asking good. It's good that people should have yisurin. That eases, you know, makes it easier for the din in the next world. And not only that, umimcha ani machil. I'm going to start with you. You're going to be the first person to have yisurin. And sure enough, as it says, vayhi ki zaken Yitzhak v'itachena in emeros, and he became blind. So we see here the importance of yisurin, that it's how it lessens the next world. There's an amazing maisa. There was once a person, a cholanu, she was sick, deathly ill, and he was suffering terribly. He was hooked up to all machines. She was just living through the machines, heart-lung machine, whatever. He was hooked up, and he was just living by that and suffering tremendously. So there was a doctor that was working, you know, in the ward there, and he saw how this person was suffering. And he knew that there's no way he's going to get better. It's like just a matter of time. And he said, hooked up to the machines. That's not a life. Suffering terribly. So he said, you know, might as well put an end to this. You know, why just continue this? You're not going to get better anyways. So he pulled the plug. Sure enough, the person was nifter. What happened? The person that was nifter, that he pulled the plug on, came to him in a dream shortly after. And he came to me in a dream and says, why did you do that? Why did you do that? He says, what did I do? He says, you pulled the plug on me. Why did you do that? He says, well, I saw you suffering. He says, you don't understand. He says, what? He says, do you realize that I was supposed to live 4 more days? Right? I was going to suffer, whatever, but 4 more days. And then I was going to die. That was my time, 4 days. Okay? And I would have suffered for 4 days. I would have died, and then I would have come up here, and I would have gone straight to Gan Eden, clean. With all the suffering I had, it would have cleaned me of my averus, go straight to Gan Eden, clean. But what? Because you pulled the plug 4 days earlier, I'm lacking 4 days of Yisuri, right? I should have suffered, and I didn't have a chance to go through them because you pulled the plug. And therefore, at 4 days of missing Yisurin, therefore I didn't come to the next world clean. And now I have to suffer here in the next world with the Gehinnom and who knows how long. See, the advantage in this world is that, the Yisurin take care of it and pretty quickly. Whereas the next world, it's not so simple to get rid of the Averis. Much easier here with Yisurin. So he said, had you left it, I would have been free clean in 4 days. You pulled the plug early, now I have to suffer in the next world, which is like a vault. And the doctor woke up, saw what he did, and changed his life drastically, and he sure enough became a Baal Tshuva after that. Another interesting maisa, along the same line, there's the chassan, the oldest chassan of the Chafetz Chaim, his name is Rivard. And he once wanted to get a job as a rav in a certain community, to be the rav of the community. And he tried getting the job, but he didn't accept him. So he's all upset. He wanted the job, and came to the Chafetz Chaim, and he complained to his father-in-law. You know, I wanted this job, I didn't get it. So he says, "What are you? Don't. You're running after job being a rav." He says, "It's not kedai. You know, it's not so easy to be a rav. It's tremendous achrayas on a person, and it's not worth it. It's not worth it. Trust me." So he says, "No, I really want the job. I want it." So he saw he wasn't getting to through to him. So Chafetz Chaim said, "Let me tell you a maisa with me." He said, "I used to be the rav of Radin until I quit." He says, "You know why I quit? I'll tell you why I quit. But you have to promise me you don't tell the story to anybody while I'm still alive. While I'm still alive, okay?" So he says, "Okay, I promise." She said, "What happened was as follows." He says that there was a in the community there was a butcher, And he was caught red-handed selling treif meat. Selling treif meat. So of course, he lost his hechsher, understandably, and he lost his job, you know, the butcher. And so this butcher came to me, Chafetz Chaim said, you know, I was the rabbi of the city. So he came to me and he's crying. He says, Rabbi, please, you know, I have charata. I didn't realize what I did wrong. I'll never do it again. And he said, Chafetz Chaim, I felt that it was sincere. He really felt bad. And he wanted his job back, wanted his hechsher back. So, I don't know, not so simple, but he said, you know, I felt bad for the guy. He has a big family, and he doesn't have a parnasa now, and, you know. So, I decided to have Rachmanis on him. I said, fine, I'll give you back your hechsher. You can open your store again. But, I'm going to have to, you know, do something. So, in order to get your hechsher back, you're going to have to give a donation to the shul, Beis Medrash, or whatever, 40 liters of candles, of oil, or whatever, those days. And you do that, and he said, fine, no problem. He agreed. And he gave his donation, the 40 liters, etc. But shortly after the whole thing happened, the person was nifter. Fine. One day, Chafetz Chaim's learning, and all of a sudden he feels very, very tired, and he, like, conks out as he's learning. And all of a sudden, these three, like, angelic figures come to him, and while he's in a dream or whatever, and he says, they say to him, the older, the bigger, the greatest one of them says, Yisrael Meir, says, we have a question to ask you. So he's like, whoa, question? He says, yeah, we have a question that we want a clear answer to. He says, what's that? He says, do you remember a little while ago, Zemaisa with these candles, the butcher, and he lost his hechsher, and you gave it back, and you had to give the candles to the basement. So he's like, yeah. She says, well, we have one question for you. Just answer this one question. When you told this butcher that he has to give these 40 liters or whatever of candles, she says, what was your kavana? Was your kavana that it was b'tor onesh, it was a punishment? Because he did something wrong, he should be punished. It's a punishment, he had to pay this money. And the people should learn that he shouldn't do it again. Other people should learn they shouldn't do it. It's a punishment. Or was it for a kapara? You should have a kapara for what he did wrong. There should be a kapara, the money that he has to spend for this thing. What was your kavanas? Onesh or kapara? So, Chafetz Chaim was stunned, you know. So they said, calm down, relax, think about it, and then when you have clarity, let us know. Let me give an answer. So he's sitting there thinking calmly, whatever, trying to... He says, okay, I think I remember now. So he says, Bakasha, what's the answer? So he says, if I'm not mistaken, it was an onesh. I felt, you know, he did something wrong, he should be punished. And I was his punishment, he had to give the thing. And so, I said, thank you very much for your answer, we really appreciate it. Disappear. Then he wakes up, and fine. So he continues learning. A little while later, again he falls asleep, and this time the butcher comes to him, that was nifter. And he says, what did you do? What did you do? So he's like, what? What happened? He says, you did with your answer? He says, what? He says, I came here to the next world, and first thing was straight to Gehinnom. You know, selling treifas to people, machshir the Yidden, straight to Gehinnom. So I said, no, I don't deserve Gehinnom. He says, why? He says, because I had a kapara. I did this bad thing, but the Chafetz Chaim was the Rav of the city. He made me give this money to the, you know, these candles, whatever. Now it's a kapara, so I had a kapara. Why should I go to Gehinnom? So they said, it wasn't a kapara. It was an onesh. It wasn't a kapara. So he said, no, it was a kapara. He said, fine. Tell you what, we'll ask him. So that's what they came down. They asked you, and you had to say that it was an onesh and not a kapara. And because of you, I'm suffering here in the next world tremendously, all because of you. Okay. Yeah. Pasuk says, after Yaakov Avinu disguised himself as Esau for the bracha, whatever, and he comes to in front of Yitzhak, and he makes the following statement. He says, "Hakol kol Yaakov vayadayim yedei Esav." So Yitzhak says, "The sound is the sound of Yaakov Avinu, but the yadayim, when I touch you, you feel like Esav." So Chazal say they darshan from this pasuk the following: Bizman shakol kol Yaakov eina yadayim yedei Esav. That when there's a kol Yaakov, when there's people learning the Beis Medrash, there's a kol Yaakov, then there's no yadayim yedei Esav. Then Esav the goyim can't have a hold on us. Bizman she eina kol Yaakov, then az yadayim yedei Esav. When there's no kol Yaakov in the Beis Medrash, then the goyim have a chance. Then the yadayim yedei Esav. That's the Chazal. So everybody asked the question that it doesn't fit with the reading of the pasuk, right? The pasuk says kol kol yachav ve'ayadaim yedei Esav, means together. When there's a kol kol yachav, there is the yadaim yedei Esav. Kol kol yachav ve'ayadaim yedei Esav. Yet Chazal darshan it. No, when there's this, there's not this. When there's a kol yachav, there is a yadaim yedei Esav. When there is a kol yachav, then there is. They don't go together. But the pasuk puts them together. It says v'kol kol Yaakov ve'ayadaim yedei. It doesn't say ve'eini yadaim. It says ve'ayadaim yedei Esav. What's pshat? So the simple pshat, it's Yosef says, the Chafetz Chaim says the same thing, is, yeah, it's true, but when Yitzchak said these words, he said it b'lashon t'miyah. He said, something doesn't go over here. It's on the one hand, a kol kol Yaakov, but yadayim yedei Esav, it doesn't go together. How can you have it? It can't be a kol kol Yaakov, yadayim yedei Esav, it doesn't go. Exactly. That's what Chazal was saying. Yitzchak was saying it doesn't go together. It doesn't go together. When there's a kol kol Yaakov, there isn't a yadayim yedei Esav. When there is a yadayim yedei Esav, there isn't a kol Yaakov, then there is a yadayim yedei Esav. So that's a simple shot. The Matnas Kahuna, the Medrash, says the following. It says interesting. So the pasuk says hakol kol Yaakov, hakol kol Yaakov. The first kol is spelled chaser, kuf lamed. Okay, hakol, and then the second one is regular, kuf vav lamed. Hakol kol Yaakov. Meili says you can read it like this: hakol kuf lamed can also be read kal. That's a kuf lamed, which means light. So therefore, it's inherent in the pasuk. What does the pasuk say? Hakal, basically, hakal kol Yaakov. When the kol of Yaakov is kal, meaning when it's not strong, there's no kol Yaakov, then ve'yadayim yedei Esav. So it's inherent in the pasuk. And then the opposite, therefore, is also true. That's the Matnas Kahuna. The Yafet Toar says it different. He says, the pasuk says, for example, Make avivimo mosumas. What does that mean? A person strikes his father or mother, mosumas. But how's it written? It says, Make avi ve'imo. So it sounds like someone who hits his mother and his father together, boom, boom, then he's mosumas. But that's not what it means. It means mother or father. Okay? Even though it's ve, but it means or. So we see sometimes ve can mean or as well. Memela, that's the pshat over here. It says, Hakol kol Yaakov ve hayadam yedesav. It doesn't mean they're both together. We said, I'll say it's not together. It's not together. Because you could read it, Hakol Kol Yaakov or Yadayim Yedei Esav. Meaning they're not going to be. They don't go together. It's this or this. It's either they call Yaakov or Yadayim Yedei Esav. One or the other. Okay, one last word I'd like to share with you. The whole Indian of the Brachas over here. Right? Find couple of very stark questions. One major question many Mefarshim discuss, the Al-Shech HaKodesh asks it. He says, why in the world would Yitzhak want to give a bracha to Esav? Okay, Esav was a Rasha. And to say, well, he didn't know, he thought it was a big tzaddik, very difficult to say such things, brings a whole slew of rayas that he knew guns fine, that Yitzhak, that Esav was a Rasha. One we just said, right? When he came in front of him, this guy, what was the lashon that Yaakov said? The Yitzchak said, "Hakol kol Yaakov yadayim yedei Esav." Why? What do you mean? Why is it kol? He sounded no. So Rashi says because Yaakov he uses the Shem Hashem. He used the Shem Hashem. He said Shem Elokim. He used the Shem Hashem, and he said, "Well, Esav never uses Shem Hashem, you know. So how could this sound like Yaakov, not like Esav?" Well, if he thought that Esav was some big tzaddik, you know, like Yaakov. No, he knew he doesn't use Shem Hashem. I mean, it was clear to him that Yitzchak was a tzaddik. So why would he want to give the brachas to Esav? Well, question number one. Another question is, fine, Hashem wanted it obviously not to go be that way, and that Yaakov should get the blessings, which he did. But why did Hashem have to do it in such a way that it involved underhandedness, you know, trickery, and especially Yaakov Avinu, you know, is the Ish Emes, and here he is, he has to disguise himself together. Why would Hashem do it that way? In other words, it says everything more, there's a midrash that says that Hashem saw that Yitzchak wanted to give the brachas to Esav. So what did he do? He made him blind, as we saw. That's why he made him blind, so that Yaakov would be able to disguise himself, and go up in front of him. And Yitzchak wouldn't notice it because he's blind, and he'd be able to get the brachas. So they ask, why did Hashem have to do all of that? Hashem could have just come to Nevuah, like he did to Rivka, come to Yitzchak, and say, give the brachas to Yaakov. Finish. Well, I don't know why you want to give it to Esav anyway, we don't understand, but whatever reason, you said, give it to Yaakov, Gamarnu, finish. What's this whole thing? Make him blind, so he won't be able to now, Yaakov can come in dressed as a... Why do you need all of that? Just tell him, give the brachas to Yaakov, farting. So I saw a very interesting shot from the sefer called Metzach Aharon, from Rav Aharon Volkins itself. He says like this. Now, yeah, we saw before that Yaakov Avinu chose Olam Haba, right, and Esav Olam Hazeh. But even somebody, who wants Olam Haba, is all every Yid wants, but you can't help but need Olam Hazeh also, right? Just a lot of mitzvahs that require money. When I give tzedakah, pidyon shvuim, tefillin are expensive, right? Mezuzah, matzah, esrog, all these things cost money, it's not free. So it costs money, to be a good yid. So you can't just have olam haba. You need olam hazeh. But, let's talk olam haba. You need. So on the one hand, Yitzchak was clearing. He knew Esav was a rasha and Yaakov was a tzaddik. And he really wanted to give the brachas to Yaakov. So on the one, he says, I want to give Yaakov the brachas. He needs the olam hazeh to get his olam haba. Ah. But then there's also the downside. What is that? Then having olam hazeh, not so simple. Right, as it says, Vishman Yishirun Vivat. If you have too much good in this world, it can lead a person to go off the derech, to be apikoros, right? That you have all the good, everything's good, and then you forget Hashem. At least a shichas Hashem, as the Torah says. So get stuck aside, it's not worth it. Not worth it. I'm going to give Yaakov the brachas, and very nice, all the wealth and good and everything. What's going to happen? He's going to, who knows what's going to happen to the yid? They're going to go off the derech because of that. So therefore, Yitzchak said, give it to Esav. Let Esav have all the good. Let him go off the derech. He's already off the derech. Who cares? Whatever. Good. Give it to Esav. And I'm not going to give the brachas to Yaakov because it's too dangerous. That's what Yitzchak thought. So that answers right there, right to the question. Why do you want to give Esav the bracha and not Yaakov? Because the brachas are dangerous. But now, Hashem said, I want the brachas to go to Yaakov anyways. I want the brachas to Yaakov anyways. Right? Because they need the money. Right? The mitzvahs. I want the brachas to go to Yaakov. However, but Yitzchak was right, there's that danger. What's going to be? So Hashem had an ingenious plan, not that he needs my askama, but he had an ingenious plan in which to avoid the problem. On the one hand, that Yaakov could get the brachas, and though to have a safeguard that it shouldn't cause them problems in the end. What is that? Esav, the goyim, right? The goyim can keep the Jews in line, as the Gemara says in Megillah and Farish, right? The Gedol Hasaras at the Bas, greater is the, when Haman gave the ring over to, the, excuse me, Achaferish gave the ring over to Haman, he said, okay, you can kill the Jewish people, that woke up the Jewish people more than all the 48 Nevi'im, all the Musa they gave. In other words, when the Goyim threaten us, so that wakes the Yid up, it's, oh my gosh, the Goyim, and then it scares them, and then it causes them to do tshuva. So therefore, Hashem said, I have a great plan, okay? We'll give the brachas to Yaakov, the Jews will have the brachas, but they might go off because they have too much good. Whenever they're going to go off, I'll have the Goyim to put them back in line. They'll scare them, and then, then they'll be okay. So this way they can have the brachas, and it won't be dangerous, because the Goyim will keep them in line. Now how am I going to have the Goyim keep them in line, Hashem said? I have to cause this hatred, because they don't hate the Jews, so there's no reason to keep them in line. So Hashem says, okay, how am I going to cause the Goyim to hate the Jews? Great idea. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to let Yitzchak give the kilu, the brachas to Esav. I'm going to have Yaakov Avinu, like we said, disguise and trick Esav and get the bracha. And then what's going to happen? Esav's going to hate Yaakov, which is exactly what happened because he tricked him. Right? But that was all Hashem's plan, so that there will be this ingrained hatred of the Goyim to the Yidden, so then it'll keep them in line, even though they get the brachas. So now everything works out. Right? Yaakov got the brachas of Olam Hazeh also, but he got it by cheating Esav, which got Esav angry, which therefore keeps the goyim have this anger toward the Jew, which is good because that keeps us in line. Every time, as we said, a kol chol Yaakov ain yadayim. But ain a kol Yaakov, when we go off and we don't have the kol Yaakov, then what happens? Ain yadayim yeyesav. That keeps us in line. So that explains everything. That explains why Hashem didn't just come to, we asked the Yitzchak and said, give the bracha to Yaakov, finish. No, because if you didn't give the bracha to Yaakov, you would have all this Olam Hazeh. Esav wouldn't hate him, wouldn't have the safeguard to keep him in line, and he didn't eventually would go off the derech. We don't have the safeguard of the goyim hating us. And therefore, he let Yitzchak give the bracha Gilu to Esav and have Yaakov trick him, therefore creating a hatred, therefore you have the guard, the safeguard to keep the Yidden in line. But the Shem, we should be Oisik in the Kol Kol Yaakov, so we shouldn't have to see the Yadayim Yaisa, we shouldn't need the safeguard. Kodesh Baruch Hu should answer all the tefillahs and bring the Mashiach Tzidkenu Bimheir V'Yameinu.